I like that guy.
So Addison.
Yeah.
Gotta love that Attack on Titan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that Attack on Titan.
Alright, let's get started.
Alright, let's do it.
Welcome to Pocketoid, the internet's one and only handheld gaming podcast. We refer to Structoid, I guess. My name is Jordan, / Jackal27, and with me tonight is my co-host,
Addison, / Crackety Jones, and we are hyped up on some cookies.
I'm just sick on some cookies. I'm not really hyped up.
Oh, I'm hyped up.
I was hyped up about the cookies, but now I'm just sick.
I've been shooting up cookies all night.
Through my veins.
Got so much Oreos running through my blood. Not really, though. Target has these cookies. Target has their Target brand Market Pantry. Mm-hmm. And they're raspberry and vanilla cream sandwich cookies, but they, like, the raspberry. Horrible. No. It's awesome. It's, like, you know how the vanilla Oreos are, like, you know, just the vanilla wafers and then the cream in the middle? It's like that, but then they have this, like, chewy raspberry stuff in the middle, like a little kind of dollop right in the middle of the cookie. Dollop. And it's like Jamie Dodgers, which I imported through Amazon once because Doctor Who. And, oh, it's awesome. I'm so happy that I found these cookies. So, that's it for Cookie Toid this week.
Welcome to Cookie Toid, the internet's one and only cookie podcast.
What's your favorite cookie from a video game, Jordan? I just think of that and Kirby.
The cookies from Monster Tail.
Ooh, yeah.
Because then you eat it and it bounces around the screen and hits the enemies.
Sometimes you eat cookies in Harvest Moon, I think, maybe? I don't know.
So we have video a plan. Video games.
What have I been playing? Well, there have been two new Humble Indie Bundles since the last time we recorded.
Oh, yeah.
I got both of them.
I haven't bought either of them.
But I've only played one game from them, which is Awesome Knots. I've been really enjoying that game, actually.
We should play it, because I have it too, actually. I never thought about how we could play that together.
We could do that, and I would enjoy playing that with you. With my thumbs. It's a lot of fun. It is essentially a side-scrolling League of Legends. Mm. So that means I have fun playing it, but I also yell at my computer while I'm playing it. But it's kind of just more of a simpler league. It's really fun. I like it a lot.
The greatest part about that game is the opening cutscene.
Yes, that's a pretty good opening cutscene. But it's got like a leveling system, so you unlock new knots or champions or whatever you want to call them as you progress through the game. And you can do just like an AI match by yourself. You play locally, play online. It's a fun little game. And hopefully, I'm sure this Humble Indie Bundle will still be up by the time this goes up. It better be. Yeah, it's like, for less than $6, you can get that game and then a bunch of other awesome games, and I highly recommend it. You can get Hotline Miami, Proteus, Thomas Was Alone, Capsize.
Is that still going on right now?
Yes. Yeah.
See, I have all those except for Proteus and Thomas Was Alone, and those are the two that I really want.
I've already had Hotline Miami, and I was like, do I want to pay more than the minimum, or more than the average, and get Proteus? And then I watched a video for Proteus, and I was like, yeah, I do. I want to do that. But I think there's another game I'm forgetting. Is that all of them? Let's see. Oh, Little Inferno. That's the one I'm forgetting. Mm. Haven't played that, but it's supposed to be really good.
If that was the... Isn't there a Wii U version of that?
Yes, there is.
Yeah, if it was the Wii U version, I would definitely get that.
Yeah. That'd be cool if they did that.
Yeah.
So, other than Awesome Knots, what I've been playing... Payday the Heist. That's like if Left 4 Dead robbed a bank. And that game is also a game that I really like, but also scream at. Shout out to Gerber for gifting me that.
So, I mean, what? Do you like the security guards just, like, run at you like zombies, or...?
I mean, basically, but there's, like, special types of SWAT members.
Uh-huh.
There's one called a bulldozer that's basically a tank, and there's one that will tase you, so it's kind of like a smoker. Mm. Then there's like ones that can be all stealthy and sneak up on you and handcuff you.
Wow.
There's probably another one I'm forgetting, but it's a fun game. Also has a leveling system that I really enjoy.
Is it built on the Left 4 Dead engine, or is it just like its own thing?
You know, I don't know. It would not surprise me if it was, but I'm not sure if it is or not. So those games and both of the, or well, no, not both of, but I've also been playing Legend of Zelda Oracle of Seasons. I got Oracle of Ages as well, but I'm waiting until I finish Seasons to play it. I'm sure we're going to talk about that some more later.
Well, we're not really going to review them, so just talk about it, whatever.
Okay. Well,
actually, I haven't even played Seasons yet, so.
You started on Ages?
Nope, I haven't played either of them yet.
Oh, okay.
We'll talk about that in a second.
Well, I saw you were online earlier today, and you're playing Link's Awakening.
Yeah, I want to finish Link's Awakening before I start them, because I'm really close to the end. And I know if I start those, I'm never going to finish it. And Link's Awakening is like the one that I've always wanted to finish since I was a kid, so.
I'm not crazy far into Season of Ages, or sorry, Oracle of Seasons. Wow. But I'm like
Age of Seasons.
I'm approaching the second dungeon. I just got my boomerang and I'm a little bit stuck right now. I've been meaning to look up and figure out what I'm doing wrong.
Zelda Dungeon has awesome walkthroughs for all the Zelda games.
Oh, awesome. So, I will remember that.
Yeah. Pretty cool. I went through the whole first Legend of Zelda on my 3DS using their walkthrough. It was really easy.
I would like to do that sometime. Because that only takes, like, what, like 30 minutes to do?
No, I mean, it takes a while, but it's, I mean, it's really fun, though. Once you kind of know what you're doing, because I've always kind of gone into the first Zelda and been like, I don't freaking know where to go, like, what to do at all. But when you have a walkthrough kind of helping you, it's a really, really fun game, because you feel like you're constantly making progress. And I usually just kind of read, like, okay, now you're going to go here, and then I don't read it anymore. I just get through the dungeon myself.
Yeah.
Stuff.
So, I had Oracle of Ages way back when Game Boy Color was still the cool, popular thing.
It still is.
I know. And I never actually did finish it, but I really enjoyed it. So I decided to start on Oracle Seasons first. I was hanging out with Jordan this week, and he Googled to see which one people recommended playing first, and a lot of people were saying Oracle Seasons, so I decided to play that one, and I'm really enjoying it. I love when Capcom is behind a Zelda. It'd be really interesting if they made some sort of announcement at E3 this year that Capcom was doing a new Zelda, but
it'd be really cool. I would love if they did a new handheld Zelda.
I would love it, but it's not going to happen because a lot of people are still angry with Capcom, and so I don't think Nintendo would want to get in bed with them right now. And
they don't really have the same relationship they did back in the day.
Yeah, either. Well, there's that, and we've already got Link to the Past 2 coming out.
Yeah.
So, other than that, play a little bit more of Luigi's Mansion 2.
Hey, me too!
Getting closer and closer to finishing that. It's kind of inching along.
How far? How many levels did you beat?
I think I've got like one level left in the third mansion.
Oh, good to job.
Good to job. So I'll finish that eventually. I should try to finish that this week before Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, next week's episode. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Because, like, everything's crazy right now, so we're gonna have to skip the bi-weekly thing. We're going to have to record again, and it's going to be...
I think we should record again while we're hanging out. I think that'd be fun.
We should. We should maybe just do like a kind of live E3 one and then do an Animal Crossing episode.
That'd be cool.
And we could like, I don't know, maybe hold on to the Animal Crossing episode for a little bit if we wanted to.
But
yeah, there's a lot of handheld stuff going on right now, or at least for 3DS.
Yeah. Not a lot of retail stuff unless you count Donkey Kong, which we've already played and stuff. So, but a lot of people haven't. If you haven't played Donkey Kong Country Returns, go buy the 3DS version like right now.
Absolutely.
But if you haven't played it, I mean, it's the same thing.
I'm still going to buy that eventually. I asked Taylor at work today to keep an eye out for a used copy.
Yeah.
So
I would consider it, but it's just like I can't really justify it in my mind since I already own the original.
Well, someone told me that there's an extra stage or two, but I don't really know.
There's an extra world with like 8 stages in it.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I'm going to buy it again. I know I'm going to, but not until I can get it for $20 or less.
Yeah. I would, since that engine's already working on the 3DS, I'd love to see them make a new one for the 3DS.
That'd be cool. Who knows? Maybe they'll be a D3.
Oh, I don't know.
It's a great mystery. What have you been playing?
A lot, actually. I mean, I haven't bought like anything retail in a while. Well, I mean, I guess I kind of have, but it's just been like sort of downloadable stuff. So I haven't been playing anything like huge. A little bit more of Dragon's Dogma here and there. I played some retro games. I've been playing a lot of Super Metroid on my Wii U. Like, a lot. I don't know. I haven't beat it yet. I mean, I guess it's a short game. You can't really play a ton of it. But I haven't beat it yet, but I just kind of really like dove into it and have been really enjoying it because I never beat that game before. So, have you been playing any more of it?
No, I've been meaning to. I meant to play that some more this weekend, but instead I just played Awesome Knots and played Arrested Development.
Yeah. I played a bit more Luigi's Mansion, Dark Moon. I beat like 2 or 3 stages. That game is just consistently awesome. Like, it just gets better and better.
I agree. I absolutely love it. And the, what's it called? The Polterpup? No.
Yes, Polterpup.
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Love him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's adorable. My wife thinks he's adorable.
Of course she does.
But, yeah, I've been trying to play some more Etrian Odyssey 4, but I'm having trouble getting back into it for some reason. I think it's just the area that I'm in. But also, it just kind of, it's a game that is so hard, it requires, like, your absolute concentration. And when I play portable games, a lot of times I, like, have TV on, or, you know, my wife's, like, watching something, or I'm, you know, doing something else. And it's hard to concentrate, so I haven't played any more Etrian Odyssey 4 yet. But I did buy 2 new games on Steam. Both of them on sale and both like must buys. The first one is Super House of Dead Ninjas.
What?
it's a game published. It's an indie game published by Adult Swim. There was a Flash. It was originally a Flash game. House of Dead Ninjas was. It was like an indie Flash game, I think. And I played it like back in 2009 or 8 or something like that. But the guy had made a new version, and this game is so freaking awesome. Basically, you start at like the top of this house. And you're constantly dropping down floors and, like, killing these other ninjas as fast as you can. You're a ninja, of course. And basically you have a timer that's counting down, and you're picking up more time things, trying to see how far you can get down, essentially. And every once in a while there's a boss, and then if you beat that boss, you can pick up from that point in the tower the next time you play. Huh. But you also, like, unlock tons of different weapons and secondary weapons and types of bombs and different outfits and stuff. So I bought it the other day. It was like the Steam sale of the day, and I got it for like $3. And
awesome. I just added it to my wish list.
Yeah, you should. It's very, very good. And the second one is an absolute must-buy, like no questions asked, must-buy. And that is
Tennis?
Super Puzzle Platformer. You may have heard of it. I've been seeing a lot of people talk about it, actually.
Yeah.
Super Puzzle Platformer Deluxe, actually, because there was they had Super Puzzle Platformer, which was like a Flash game where you play this little dude and blocks fall down from the sky and you have to shoot the blocks and not get crushed, but also jump on top of the blocks to, like, you know, stay not dead because there's spikes at the bottom of the screen. and but you know, he made a deluxe version with like different characters and more stuff and a bunch of junk. And I got that the other day for like $8, and it's very, it's very, very good. Both those games are awesome, so they're great. They're great. Put them on your wish list. I'm sure they'll be on sale. You know,
are either of them very difficult?
They're both pretty difficult. Not like crazy difficult, but
kind of sounded like it.
Yeah, Super Puzzle Platformer, I would say, is really difficult, but it's also just kind of like, it's a different type of game. It's like a completely original thing that you've never really played before. I guess there's a little bit of The Blocks Cometh like in there, but if you ever played that on the iPhone, but I don't know. It's just it's so original that it takes some getting used to. And they're the type of games, especially Super Puzzle Platformer, where it's like, okay, I died, continue, and you like go back, you know, arcade style, just like constantly starting over. So, but they're really fun. Those games are really great. And I've been loving those. Let's see, what else? Nothing on my iPhone. What about my DS? Oh yeah, I beat Denpomen.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to beat it before I started Denpomen 2. Actually, I didn't beat Denpomen. But I
you kind of did.
I saw the credits roll, and that's good enough for me. Basically, if you don't know. Denpomen started out whenever we reviewed it, like in 2012. There were three like different dungeons to go into, and I beat the three dungeons, and I was like, "Okay, I'm done." And then I was like, "Gonna review it," and then there were three more that popped up, and I was like, "Crap!" And then I just beat those three, and beat the final boss, and the credits rolled, and I was like, "Yay, the game's over!" And then the credits finished, and it opened up three more dungeons, and it was like, hey, actually, we've got this more stuff to do before we're done. And I was like, oh, well, I want to buy Denpomen 2, so bye. I mean, maybe I'll come back and finish it sometime.
Gosh, it's so crazy how much they put into that game
for 10, what was it? For $10, too.
Was I mean, it even $10? I thought it was less than $10.
I think it was 10. It was on sale for like 8 or 9 at one point. But I mean, hold on, I'm gonna check and see how many hours I put into that. And I mean, like so I said, I only finished 2/3 of it. So, yeah, I put 21 hours into it.
Jeez.
And I only did 2/3 of the game.
That's like 50 cents an hour of game.
Well, the other thing, another thing that kind of bugged me though was, that game had some issues for me because it kind of felt like a slog at some points. I mean, it had lots of personality and it was, you know, cute and weird and everything, but like. I don't know, just something about like the dungeons and having to grind all the time and having to, you know, the dungeon. And there was this boss, I got stuck on this ice demon boss that was just the biggest pain in the butt. And he was like 100 times harder than the final boss was. Like I was I think the recommended level for his dungeon was 35 and I was 45 and I still was having trouble like defeating.
Jeez.
It was crazy. I grinded that much. And
that's weird.
And then I beat the final boss like no problem at all. So, yeah, that was real dumb. But, so that's one other reason why I just didn't really want to play it anymore. I wanted to get on to the sequel. So I bought Denpomen 2 after I finished that. And Denpomen 2 is really, really good, you guys. Like the first Denpomen kind of felt like I said, like a slog. And this one doesn't feel like that at all. Like, it's really, really fun. It's awesome. Because, like, I don't know, the first one was, you know, it was more of a dungeon crawler. You know, you had like your hub town, and then you go off to different parts. And this one's more of a straight up RPG. Like, you start out in your little town, stuff happens, you go walk across the world map and go to a cave and go through the dungeon, fight a boss, come back out and explore some more. And it has, I mean, it's like a huge like RPG, like Dragon Quest style RPG, and it's really awesome. And there's tons of like little touches to make it even cooler, like. For instance, anytime you're on the world map, you can hit X and immediately like teleport back to any town or any dungeon entrance or anything that you've been to on the world map, which is like saves you so much time and is like super convenient. Especially because you know you're always going back to your town to get more Denpomen and heal up and everything. But go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna ask for me and maybe anyone else out there. That is in a similar situation. Would you say I should continue trudging through the campaign on Denpamin 1, or should I just dive into 2?
Well, I mean, that's tough to say, because it's, you know, I don't know how much you love Denpamin 1. Like, for me, I was just like, I don't really want to play any more of this. Like, I don't want to play it anymore.
I like it a lot, but, like, I do kind of get a little burnout, and, like, sometimes when I go back to it, I'm like, what was I doing?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, you might want to just pick up the second one. I mean, the story isn't, like, the deepest, most incredible thing ever. Like, you know, at the beginning, the dude shows up, your little Denpa guy shows up, and he's like, hey, my lady's been kidnapped, we gotta get her. And then you get her.
Are you a bad enough dude?
And I don't think it's too much of a spoiler. I'm sorry if I'm spoiling Denpamin for you, but after you beat kind of the last guy, basically you have to go on this quest so that they can get married. You have to get some item so that they can have their wedding. And so I'm pretty sure the game actually ends with their wedding. And that's when I was like, I'm not getting your freaking, you know, your stuff for your wedding. Go get it yourself. Yeah, I was like, I'm gonna play Denpamin 2. And then Denpamin 2 picks up with like your same guy from the first game, except now he has, you know, the chick that you rescued, and he has like 2 kids. So, and then stuff goes down, and yeah, you can. That's another thing, though. You can actually just like import over your character from the first Denpamin, which is kind of cool. And but he starts back like level 1, and then after a while, after playing, this guy comes to your town who can take any Denpamin from your first from the first game and pull them over into Denpamin 2. But they're all like level 1 when they come over to your game, and all your other guys are kind of like level 5, so it will take like a little bit of grinding to get them on level with everyone, but
that's still cool that that's an option.
Yeah, it is really cool. Especially if you had like some guys that you found and just like liked the way they looked, or just thought they had cool like stat mixtures or whatever, which I have a couple of those. So, I basically just pulled over my whole like main guys. But actually like I kind of would recommend against that, because it's really fun to just like find brand new dudes all over again. I went like walked around my little neighborhood area just like finding Denpamin guys, and that was like super fun, just like finding them all over again. Because I guess in Denpamin 2, like the Wi-Fi hotspots have brand new guys, so pretty cool.
Yeah, I kind of would have assumed they probably would.
But I mean, everything about it is basically way better than the first game. It has like way better music, way better graphics, way better 3D effect too, and everything's just like the first one except way better.
I mean, how much are they selling it for?
It's $12.
Yeah, it seems worth it.
And I mean, with how long the first game was, like I can't imagine it being short.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, and it's cool because it's. The first game, like, I was kind of expecting it to fill that RPG void that I was having, but then I was kind of disappointed. I was like, oh, it's just a dungeon crawler. And then, but this one really, like, it, you know, it feels like an RPG, even though it's so simplistic and everything. So, yeah.
I wonder how long they spent developing that game.
Well, I mean, we got Denpamin 1, like, a month or two after the second one came out in Japan. So, I don't know. I mean, maybe like a year or so, or like 6 months.
Still pretty impressive.
Yeah, for sure. Especially with all the stuff that's in there. When you really think about it, like, it's a pretty innovative game. Because, I mean, there's like transfer stuff going on between 2 separate games. You're picking up dudes from Wi-Fi signals. There's Street Pass in this one.
Ooh.
Oh, the Street Pass is really cool. When you Street Pass somebody, what happens is you have this special lamp. And it fills up with like oil or whatever that you can use, that you can burn out. And there's a special dungeon that you need this lamp to explore. And so the more like time that you have, the further you can explore this dungeon. There's like tons of rare items like hidden in this dungeon.
Huh? Can you spend play coins to fuel it?
No. That'd be awesome though. I just figured since I probably won't know anyone that has it, you and I can just street pass each other all the time.
Yeah.
And give each other fuel. Give me your sweet fuel, Addison.
I can't wait to just street pass all day at PAX. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to have so many street passes. It's going to be insane. I'm going to fill up so many puzzle pieces. I'm going to come back and you're going to be like, oh my god, so many pink puzzle pieces.
Yes, give me all the pinks.
Oh, I'll give them to you.
Oh, I also played a bunch more of Kirby's Mass Attack.
Oh, I love that game.
I know. I have just cleared the first world because this game is freaking huge.
Yeah.
There's so much to do in it. I got it for $5.
What?
On they had it on Newegg last Christmas for $5, and I had my wife buy it for me for my birthday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's a great game.
Yeah, but the thing I've been playing mainly the last couple days is Link's Awakening, because I want to play Oracle of Seasons and Oracle of Ages, but I know if I'd start those and don't finish Link's Awakening, I won't ever finish it. So
how far are you into Link's Awakening?
I just got, there's 8 instruments, and I just got the 6th one, and I'm like basically outside the dungeon to get the 7th one right now.
Mm.
So
you don't have a whole lot left.
Yeah, there's also still the final dungeon and stuff, but I'm basically just blazing through it with a walkthrough. I'm hoping to be done with it tomorrow. But
nice.
You know. So that's all the stuff I've been playing. A lot of stuff like here and there. Oh, by the way.
Oh yeah, this is like what, our 2-year anniversary?
Yeah.
Oh, we're such a cute couple.
2 years of Pocketoid. We've been doing this podcast as long as I've been married, and it's gonna stay that way. So if I ever get divorced, then we have to end the podcast. Just kidding.
We should have tried to get Brett on.
That would have been fun. Yeah, what's the actual anniversary if we count the episode that we recorded with Brett?
Oh my gosh.
I listened to that episode a few weeks ago, because I still have it, and it's still out there on the internet. If you can track down the original first episode of Pocketoid.
Recorded
In my storm shelter in my basement.
Storm shelter. Oh my gosh.
And
we just all sat there on, I had my crappy little mini PC.
Uh-huh. And we just talked around it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that episode, Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver were just announced.
Yeah, I was gonna say
that's
the thing I remember being really excited about.
And we were making all these like E3 predictions and stuff. It was really funny.
Do you remember if any of them were, like, anywhere close to true?
No, none of them were at all. I mean, it was, like not a single one.
We were Mother 4!
Huh?
Mother 4!
Mother 4! I think we were talking about something about a new Zelda game. I don't remember. I don't remember. It was something about, like, another sequel. A sequel to, like, Phantom Hourglass or something. That was going to look like Ocarina of Time. I don't remember.
Well, there was a sequel to Phantom Hourglass.
I don't know if it was. It wasn't a direct sequel to Phantom Hourglass, was it?
I think it was.
No. I don't remember. I have
my Hyrule Historia pretty close.
Maybe Spirit Tracks was just announced and that's what we were talking about. I don't remember.
But maybe.
I mean, that's like 2007 that was? 2008?
Man, I feel like it was 2007 or 2008. I want to say 2007.
Yeah. So, that's weird. But anyway.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. That episode is...
Oh, it's bad. It's
a thing.
It's real bad. Like,
yeah, if you guys think we're bad now.
But anyway.
Oh, jeez. So, all right.
Addison, what predictions do you have for E3?
Well, a lot. let's see, I wrote a bunch down because I knew I wouldn't remember them all.
Maybe I should have done that.
Well, I think one thing that we can both agree on is, and let's just be honest, right now we're mostly focusing on the Nintendo conference with a little bit of Sony.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I'm really excited to see what Sony has to offer. I mean, to get me excited about the Vita.
Yeah, I hope they have some stuff.
They better.
but I think we can both agree that we are going to see something from the new Super Smash
Nvidia console. Oh.
But, right? Don't you think we'll see that?
See what?
Stuff from the new Smash.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they already said that. They already said it was going to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they said they'd have new Smash Brothers, new Mario Kart, and new 3D Mario for Wii U.
Oh, I forgot about the Mario Kart. I'm really hoping, especially with Smash being shown, I'm hoping that they're going to show off some of the Wii U 3DS functionality.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be 3DS too. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I'm hoping they're going to show off some of that and announce some exciting things that will involve connecting your 3DS to your Wii U.
Please be excited.
I think we're also going to see Earthbound launch on the Virtual Console next week.
You think we will?
I think it would only make sense. I think it would be...
It'd be a huge crowd pleaser for sure.
Yeah, it'd be a huge crowd pleaser, and like with so much publicity that they're going to be getting this week, it would guarantee so many sales. Like, just the fact that it's even coming out guarantees so many sales, but yeah. I don't know. I think they'd be dumb not to do that. Nintendo has announced that there's going to be like, was it like a 90-minute Pokemon X and Y conference?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I don't know what that's about.
I don't know either, but like, I'm they're so
just
excited.
Gonna be like, guys, we're just gonna show each of the new Pokemon and talk about them for an hour and a half. Minutes. And I would watch it all.
I would watch it all multiple times. I'm hoping at that conference that they will give a specific release date for X and Y.
Yeah.
I think that they are also going to have to show at least a couple new Pokemon at that conference as well. Really hoping for a new Metroid. I'm not getting my hopes up too much, but man, I would be so stoked if they announced a new Metroid for 3DS or Wii U.
I know. What I really want is a new 2D Metroid for the 3DS.
Yes.
I mean, think about with the 3D effect. If they had like a 2.5D Metroid.
Yes, exactly.
With like,
that's
with like
what
the 3D effect.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
That's exactly what I want. Exactly. I would not be surprised at all if we saw a new handheld WarioWare game for the 3DS. I think it's about time that they announced one of those.
What do you think about third party stuff?
Third party stuff? I almost wonder if EA will come back and be like, hey, just kidding, we're going to do this again and like show off some stuff. I think Ubisoft will have a lot of cool things. You didn't link this to me. I just saw it on Twitter. There was someone on NeoGAF saying that Capcom was going to announce, was it Darkstalkers Reborn or something exclusive for the Wii U? And that there's going to be a new Mega Man game developed
There's someone on GAF saying a lot of things.
Yeah.
I've been on there the last couple days.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would all be interesting. I think we're going to see at least some early footage of a Zombie U sequel. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see a lot of third-party stuff for the 3DS. Not as much for the Wii U, but I think we're going to see a ton for the 3DS.
I hope so.
I'm trying to think of what else we could maybe see.
Nintendo buys Sega.
Oh my gosh. That's not going to happen.
I don't know what there would be third-party, but I mean, I remember last year we had some stuff that was revealed, so we'll see.
Yeah. I think a lot of it will probably come from Ubisoft.
Yeah, I really want Capcom to do more 3DS stuff, because I mean they did Resident Evil and Street Fighter, and they were both like huge successes for the console.
Yeah,
so
they were great. I'm sure we'll see something from them.
Yeah, I hope so.
Maybe that Darkstalkers game will be cross-platform for Wii U and 3DS. Maybe they have crossplay. I would not be surprised at all if Sony unveiled a new Jak and Daxter title for the Vita.
Yeah.
Or at least one that plays on the PS4 and Vita, kind of like what they did with the latest Sly Cooper game.
Oh, 3DS stuff real quick. Do you think that Squaresoft and or Nintendo will announce any Dragon Quest localizations for the 3DS?
Oh, I had not even thought about that.
Yeah.
I really hope they do. I think they'd be kind of dumb not to.
Yeah.
I think that would make them a decent amount of money.
I hope we see the the English version of Bravely Default at the conference, too.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I hope we get a Monster Hunter 4 release date and confirmation that it's actually coming. Have they actually confirmed that it's coming stateside?
No, but I mean, they said they were really pleased with the sales of 3G, so Earth Re-Ultimate.
Well, I would like to hear a U.S. release date for that.
Yeah.
I think we'll hear also quite a bit more on that Xenogears follow-up that was briefly announced a while back.
Xenoblade follow-up, you mean?
Yes, Xenoblade. I always say Xenogears. Gosh dang. Wouldn't be very surprised if I saw a new Kingdom Hearts title for the Vita and or 3DS.
Yeah, or Final Fantasy title.
That was what was next on my list.
Yeah.
I think we will also see some sort of surprise eShop announcement, something that maybe we weren't expecting or maybe not expecting so soon or something. Like, it was like 2 E3s ago. I guess that Earthbound could be that surprise eShop announcement, but was it like 2 E3s ago or something where...
They were just like Link to the Past, right now!
Yeah, it's out now.
Or Link's Awakening, I mean.
Yeah. Suck our butts. So that'd be pretty cool. And the last thing I have on here that I haven't really talked about is I think we're gonna see some UI changes to the 3DS, Vita, and Wii U.
Yeah.
I think they're going to update the operating systems on those and add a couple new features and
make
it sleeker.
I feel like Nintendo think about like with the Wii, they basically stuck with the same layout for the whole generation. But
they did, but I think they're trying to catch up to
I like the layout on my Wii U and 3DS. I mean, I like the...
I like it just fine, but, I mean, they could make it better, and they could always add in new functions. And
yeah,
Sure. They could add in, a better messaging system on the Wii U, or something better than just Swapnote on 3DS. Like, I love Swapnote, but if I could just send a text...
Well, I think the messaging system on the Wii U is fine with Miiverse and everything. I want Miiverse on my 3DS.
Yes.
That's what I want.
They need to do that. I would not be surprised if they...
I think they already said they're planning on doing it, but I bet they'll actually show it at E3.
Yeah, or maybe they'll launch it the same day. Who knows?
Who knows?
So that's all I really had written down.
Yeah. I mean, do you think Sony is going to show some kind of functionality between the Vita and the PS4?
Yeah. I mean,
I totally wouldn't be surprised if they did.
I don't really know why I didn't say that.
Yeah.
But yeah, they pretty much have to.
Yeah.
If they don't, everyone's going to be like, "Hey, remember that thing you said? you going to talk about that ever, or are we just going to pretend that doesn't exist again?"
Yeah. Remember that thing that you released for money, and then...
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think we'll see a Vita price drop?
Jeez, I don't even remember how much they are nowadays. Are they still, like, $300?
Yeah, $250, $300, I think. Almost positive.
Yeah. I wouldn't... Well, I don't know. I'd say that one's, like, 50-50.
Yeah. What about a Wii U price drop?
I don't think that's gonna happen.
You don't think so?
No.
What if they announce the PS4 and the Xbox One for those prices that Pachter showed off today? Which I don't think is going to happen. But
the Xbox One price, which if you guys didn't see, Michael Pachter said that the Xbox One would launch at $400 and PS4 at $350. The Xbox One price point, I wouldn't be that surprised, but the PS4 one I sure would.
Yeah.
Like, Sony's already said that they're not going to lose money on the system, and...
Yeah.
I mean, if it's $350, I don't know how they're not going to be losing money.
I really feel like it's got to be $400 to $500, and I bet there's going to be multiple models of both.
Yeah. There most definitely will be.
Yeah. Or a subscription model, where, you pay a subscription.
Yeah, with the subsidized system.
Yeah. That wouldn't surprise me either.
I mean... I guess that will do well, but I don't understand why it'll do well.
Yeah, you end up paying more.
Yeah, I don't really understand why people do that, but I guess people do that, so whatever.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was listening to Rebel FM, and I don't remember who on there brought it up, but I thought it was an interesting idea. They said something along the lines of someone like Comcast or some cable company offering a deal of saying, you know, sign up for our cable and, you know, you get the Xbox One as your cable box for X amount of dollars. And, I mean, I wouldn't be really surprised if that happened, and I think that would be a pretty good business venture on both parts.
Yeah.
Because if you've seen, like, the back of the Xbox One, I mean, they could pretty much do that.
Yeah. What so. Do you? I mean, where are you leaning so far with this next generation stuff? What are your general opinions?
As of right now, from everything I know, and not taking rumors into account, I'm completely out on Xbox One, and I'm a little iffy on PS4. My current stance on that is I'll buy one at the like first price drop or like whenever there's a decent amount of games that I really, really want to play.
Yeah.
Like, I'll need probably something to play Metal Gear Solid 5, so that's probably when I'll buy one.
I need something to play Blu-rays, which will probably be my excuse to buy one.
Oh, and then there was also, on NeoGAF, people were saying that Dragon's Dogma 2 would be a PS4 exclusive.
I think so, too. I mean, from that game that they showed, that Deep Down game at the conference, mm-hmm. I mean, that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah,
if that were the case, like, that's a game... I mean, I like Dragon's Dogma enough that if it was a PS4 exclusive, that could definitely sway me, because...
Yeah.
But right now, I'm not giving the Xbox One, like, any thought. Like, I'm just... With the business practices that they've shown off, and with the... Especially with the stuff they're doing with indie developers being basically the same that they've done all generation.
Yeah.
I have no interest in that console.
Yeah. Don't want to have any interest at all, but if some of these rumors that are circling around are true, then I'm gonna have to have a little bit of interest, because I really want to play a new Banjo and Kazooie. And also, someone on NeoGAF was saying that League of Legends was gonna be on there, and part of me is like, why would I want to play that on there and play it on my computer? But then part of me is like, oh, but it would be kind of fun to play it on a console and with console players, and maybe I wouldn't be as awful at it, and I could play it on my
Is it fun, Addison?
Huge TV.
Is it fun to play with console players on Xbox Live?
No, it's not. It is not.
I'm sorry.
But I was mostly saying that because I could get it cheaper. What am I saying? Why did I say that sentence? Because I could be better at it, possibly. Why did I say cheaper? What am I talking
about? I don't know. Man, I just when it comes to that thing, I'm completely uninterested now. Like, it's just like and the thing is, like, they could show off all these exclusives. I mean, I've basically spent this whole generation missing out on lots of exclusives, so I'm kind of used to it. But
yeah,
they could show off all this stuff, and I wouldn't even care, because I'm not going to put up with the type of crap that they expect me to put up with. And
yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get one, but right now I'm like 90% uninterested, but then 10% of me is like, Banjo-Kazooie, I want to play that.
This is the same Rare that made Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, Addison.
And I heard that game is actually good if you take it for face value. If you were to just call it Nuts and Bolts and take out the words Banjo-Kazooie, that's actually a pretty alright game.
It's not good. I've played it a lot.
Oh.
I tried so hard. They also made Perfect Dark Zero.
Yeah, they did. They did that. There's also some rumors that they're going to announce a new Perfect Dark.
I think it'll be Killer Instinct is what I think it'll be, honestly.
Why would they announce another Perfect Dark? Like,
I don't know. There's a lot of rumors, and none of this stuff holds any ground. I haven't seen. I mean, last year or in 2010, I saw stuff that I was like, "That could be a thing." Like this year, I haven't seen anything that I'm just like, "Yeah, that's probably going to happen." Other than like you know, console makers are going to screw you over.
Yeah. Well, it's so weird because I love E3 and I get excited about it, but when I think about it, I'm like, man, I sure can't wait to see how these big corporations are just going to ram me up the ass.
Yeah.
I mean, but then I think, oh, but Nintendo, yeah. Oh, 90 minutes of Pokemon? Yeah.
Last year we were so pumped. Because it was just like, you know, there's no way Nintendo could blow this. And, like, you know, it was like, they're going to show off how they're, you know, all these consoles, these guys are going to show off their new consoles, and none of the things we thought were going to happen happened.
God. Last
Sony's going to make us want a Vita? No.
Last year's E3 was just the worst.
Oh, it was awful all around. I mean, Ubisoft had the best conference, and it was basically just Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
And Rayman Legends. But I don't know. I feel like this year it's going to be really difficult for, because all three of them have something huge on the line, and I feel like everyone's going to be pulling out the stops for this one.
They need to.
Yeah, they really do. But I'm excited. I'm really pumped. I think that everybody's going to have cool stuff to show. And
do you think Sony will unveil a successor to the Wonder Book?
Shut up. Remember when they spent, like, so long on that last year?
Yes. Oh,
why?
My gosh.
Why?
I just remember you screaming at the TV, no one cares.
And why, my wife was just, like, making those looks, like, she felt so awkward.
Yeah. Didn't she have to, like, leave the room?
Yeah, she just got up and left. She was like, I can't take this anymore. Because it kept, like, messing up, like, on stage.
Yeah. Oh, man. That just reminded me, did you hear that Aisha Tyler is doing, I think it was Ubisoft's press conference again?
What?
I don't know why they brought her back. God, she was so awkward. I hope they have that one mom lady at the Nintendo conference again.
Oh no, they fired her a long time ago. I mean, it was like
Did they?
No, it was like super quiet. They were like, she's moving on to bigger and better things and all this different stuff, but she'd only been there for like had her position
like the dumpster
for a year and a half. It was like in 2010 they got rid of her.
I just kind of remembered that Chad works at Nintendo again, and
does.
Yeah, Chad works for Nintendo, and it just kind of made me happy. Yeah, that happened like, geez, I don't know, probably 6 months ago or so.
If there's anyone who should be working for Nintendo, it's Chad.
Yes. Sometimes I just remember that, and it just makes me happy.
But I'm pretty excited. I think awesome stuff's going to happen all around. It's cool that we basically have no clue what's going to happen, because usually we kind of have an idea of some things that are going to happen. This year, I have no idea. Like, Microsoft could pull out all the stops. Like, Sony could totally bomb. Nintendo could dance around in Pikmin costumes for an hour and a half. I have no idea. But it's gonna be awesome.
Just imagine Miyamoto coming out with Reggie and just saying, this is Pikmin 3. And then, like, they just dance for an hour and a half. And he's like, congratulations.
You finished
Pikmin 3. This was Pikmin 3 for the Wii U. And then, like, Pikmin 3 just never comes out. And that's... Miyamoto just went crazy and decided that he wanted Pikmin 3 to be a performance art piece. Reggie comes out and starts throwing bacon strips at the crowd.
But before we go, here's some fireworks.
And they're just throwing artillery shells into the crowd.
Unleash the bears.
But is there even going to be a crowd? Because they're not actually at E3. They're doing a conference during E3.
They're doing a Nintendo Direct. Is what they're doing.
Yeah, so there's not really going to be a crowd.
No. I've been thinking about it, and it's so smart for them to do.
Oh, yeah.
Because
it is.
It's like, for instance, there's no crowd, so no one to applaud, no one to boo, no one to not applaud. Like,
and it's going to be all pre-taped.
Yes.
So,
like, there's no
anything to mess up.
Yes, there's no awkward stage junk. Like, it's all pre-taped, and it's just completely, like enclosed environment for them to feed you Nintendo propaganda. And
yes.
You know what? I'm okay with that.
I'm totally okay with that. I love it.
Maybe I shouldn't be, but I kind of am.
Yeah.
Either way, I think it's going to be great all around, and I'm super excited. My wife, she was like, I was setting up the E3 party, and she was like, "Why are you doing that this year? Don't you remember last year? Like, it was so awkward. Like, why do you want to watch that?" And I was like, "That's why we watch it. Like,
yeah,
because everything could be a complete disaster and be awkward, or it could be completely amazing."
E3 is the best reality TV show ever.
Yes. I was like, and all the horrible, awkward things make the amazing things all that much more amazing.
It's true.
I'm excited. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be so fun.
I was bummed when I heard Nintendo wasn't going to be there, and I was just like, it's not going to be the same. But then they were like, Nintendo Direct, and I was like, we're having the party.
Yeah.
So.
Not only that, but 90 minutes of Pokemon.
I don't know if that's only for press or what. I don't know what that is. I really don't know. I wish they'd just do 90 minutes of everything else and, you know, an hour of Pokemon. But they want to do 90 minutes of Pokemon, so.
Yeah. Surely that's going to be streamed to the public.
They're probably frying up those balloons right now. As we speak.
What if they had a new Sunset Riders?
Oh, man. I'd be so excited. This is the other thing, too, and gosh, I'm such, you know, I come off these days as such a Nintendo fanboy, but don't forget, like, the PlayStation 1 is one of my favorite consoles ever, and the PlayStation 2 is also one of my favorite consoles ever. But, like, I'm just so glad for my Wii U and my 3DS these days. Like, seeing all this stuff about DRM and always online and no used games and no backwards compatibility, it's just like, ah, I don't have to worry about any of that stuff with my Wii U or my...
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to worry about monthly fees. I don't have to worry about any of that junk or constantly having your Kinect, like, connected or constantly. Just any of that stuff.
I can lend you a game.
Yes.
Like, and it's simple as that.
Yes. Like, we could be sitting at Chick-fil-A and I can pass, you know, a game across the table to you and you can try it out. Anywhere else.
I kind of had a realization about that today because my Twitter text tone on my phone is the level up noise from Fire Emblem Awakening, and one of my friends at work heard it, and he was like, oh, I need to get that game still. He's like, but I'm so broke. I was like, well, I mean, if you want, I was like, I can let you borrow my copy. I'm more or less finished with it, and I'm pretty sure it has multiple save files.
Yeah, it has three.
And then I remembered, wow, I can let someone borrow a game.
Yeah.
That should not be such a blessing in my mind, but it is.
See, that's the thing, like, if it wasn't for borrowed games, I would not be playing games, like, today. Because when I was a kid, I was so poor. Like, my mom and dad got divorced, I was super poor, I had never played any video games, but I had this friend across the street, Scott, and he had an NES with Excitebike and Mario 2 and Metroid and Batman and Ms. Pac-Man. And when he got his Nintendo 64 in, like, 97, he gave me his NES with those games. And it was awesome. Like, you know, like, and you couldn't do that kind of thing now. And, like, whenever I got my first console, a Game Boy, he would, like, loan me games to play. And we would trade back and forth with each other. And it's just, you know, and whenever I got my PlayStation, the first console I ever bought myself. I thought that I hated RPGs, and my friends Taylor and Michael in sixth grade, like, were loaning me Final Fantasy IX and Legend of Dragoon and Chrono Cross and Legend of Gaia and Suikoden 2, and they were loaning me these games, and I didn't beat them and play through them all the way. I played them for a little while, and I was like, oh, I need to buy this. But it's like, if it wasn't for that stuff, or renting games, like, you won't be able to rent games with the Xbox One. Like, there's so many franchises, there's so many series, there's so many things that I wouldn't love that I wouldn't even be playing today because I never would have gotten to give them a chance. It's just, it's ridiculous.
I wonder if with all this stupid DRM BS, if demos are going to make a bigger comeback. Like, no one really seems to care about demos that much anymore, and a lot of the demos that come out are
like, usually not good representations of the final product.
That's my issue with demos. It's like, you can't really try out the game with a demo. Like,
yeah, so I wonder if, like, with all this DRM stuff, if, like, they're going to do better with demos and make them, like, a better representation of it and, like, just make it more so that when you, after you play it, you actually want to play that game. Like, the one that comes to mind is Ni No Kuni demo and the Monster Hunter demo. Like, those are awful.
Yeah.
But I love both of those games so much.
Yeah. And I mean, I played the Dragon's Dogma demo and I didn't dig it that much, but I love the game itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of that stuff. But I don't know. Whatever. That's why I just choose not to do that. I mean, if seriously, like this generation, I have a 360 right now, but for the majority of this generation, I didn't have one. I played a couple games sometimes in the dorms, but I seriously played my Wii, my DS, and like indie games on my computer, and then like retro stuff. And it's like, I'm fine with doing that.
And well,
if I have to straight up go to handhelds and indie games, totally fine with that too. But
actually, I just realized you forgot a game you've been playing.
What?
Because I was about to say, well, at least you got to play through Bioshock Infinite, and I don't think you...
Oh, yeah!
I don't think you've talked about that on here at all.
No, I haven't even mentioned it. I kind of forgot because we blazed through it, like, in 5 days.
Yeah.
But,
good.
My wife and I played through Bioshock Infinite, and that's a good game.
What did she think of it?
Oh, my gosh. She freaking loved it. Dude, when that ending came, she just laid back with her face at like the ceiling, like, what the crap?
Brain melting. What did both you and your wife kind of? I don't want to. I'll just ask this because I don't want to turn this into Bioshocktoid. But,
yeah.
What did you guys think about all the words? What did you think of all the themes of racism and xenophobia?
I mean, I thought they were good. Like, I don't know. I feel like some people expected Bioshock Infinite to be more than it actually was. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, when it talked about racism and stuff, and when, you know, people were like, bah, they didn't do it well enough because it has gun shooting and stuff. And I was just like, whatever. Like, it made for an interesting story. I don't think the whole point of their game was to, you know, change your perspective on racism bad.
Yeah.
I think that they were trying to tell a story, and that was one of the ways they did it.
I think they, like, did a really good job of presenting it and being really mature about it, and there's...
Well, it was cool also how it kind of ran both ways, and it just showed, like, humanity in general. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to spoil anything for anyone.
Well, there's a really good interview with Ken Levine on this NPR show called On Point that I would recommend looking up and just listening to some of the questions he's asked and how he handles them, because he's a really smart guy, and I think he answered all the questions that were thrown at him perfectly.
Yeah.
But yeah, great game. Anyways, should we jump into questions and then wrap this up?
Yeah, we've already been going for an hour, so...
Yeah, we don't have a lot.
We asked you guys what your E3 predictions were for handheld stuff.
Do you want to read the Twitter response you got?
Yeah, we got one. What was it?
I just looked at it. It was like some RPG I wasn't familiar with.
So Vagabond says that Vagabond says they want to see Soma Bringer 2 and then any other RPG announcements for the 3DS at, or for handhelds at E3. And I would also love to see Soma Bringer 2. I would love to see Soma Bringer 1 come to the United States, because that game's freaking great.
What is Soma Bringer?
It's an RPG. Who's it by? Oh, it's an RPG by the guys who made Xenoblade. For the DS. And it plays like Diablo, kind of. It's like loot-based action RPG with like various characters and classes and stuff. I played a little bit of it, but couldn't get into it, but I only played like 10, 15 minutes. But I think if I played it more, I would really get into it. Everyone that I've ever heard that like played it has said it's like, you know, either the best RPG on the DS or one of the best. So but it never came to the U.S. There is a fan translation patch if you have like an emulator or if you have a you know, an R4 card or something. You know, I usually don't condone that, but if you don't have any other option to play the game in your native language, then have at it.
I want to do that.
Yeah. So that would be pretty cool. Dusty?
Oh.
Who's
he's one of the guys I work with. Okay, you can go ahead.
Said that he wants to, said that he thinks Halo 5, Fallout 4, and Fable 4 will be announced, and I guess.
Yeah. Well, then I commented back at him and was like, "How about something more portable related?"
He said that it, he said all those portable on the 3DS.
No.
He said Smash Bros, a new Super Mario World, a new Zelda game, or maybe a remake. A lot of Nintendo stuff.
Yeah,
I don't think he realizes that there is a new Zelda game coming out. It's kind of a remake.
I was like, oh, a lot of Nintendo stuff. That's a good prediction. That's probably a pretty safe one.
he really doesn't want to be wrong.
Yeah.
But, yeah, whatever.
So, over on yeoldpockettoid.tumblr.com, mm-hmm. that was a quick save because I meant to say Tumblr. Modern Octopus on there, who also goes by Nintendo Nick on Twitter, he asked us, favorite butt from a game. I already have an answer from this.
Who?
For this. I want to hear, do you have an answer?
Yeah.
Well, I want to hear your answer first.
But what if it's your answer?
I don't think it will be.
Okay, Captain Falcon. No, I'm just kidding. Mine's got to be Jill Valentine from Resident Evil Revelations.
It's a good one.
It's a pretty dang good butt.
It's a pretty good
oh,
butt.
Oh, wait, no. Mine's Liberation Maiden.
Oh.
Mine's the chick from Liberation Maiden.
I think the first time I started playing Revelations, like the demo, I think I texted you something about dead ass.
Both the 3DS man, they're like those Japanese those Japanese game developers are really putting that 3D effect to good use.
Yes, yes, they are
sticking a butt out in your face.
Anyways, my choice would be Bayonetta.
Really, I never played Bayonetta, so.
Oh, it's so good.
I know. I've always meant to pick it up, but...
No. You should do that. Actually, I have a 360 copy somewhere that I have lost. If I ever find it, I'll just give it to you.
I need to buy all of Platinum Games' stuff. I still haven't played Vanquish either. There's a lot of stuff there that I haven't played.
But you're going to get Bayonetta 2 on the Wii U, right?
Oh, of course. Like
that's. I bet we see more of that at E3.
Oh, no, that... Kamiya, the dude on Twitter, he's basically been implying for like the last 2 weeks that yeah, there's going to be a trailer. There's going to be something
nice.
I don't know why we wouldn't see it.
And then, oh my gosh, is there like a requirement on the internet to just have impossible to say usernames? Eojoko? That's my best guess. It's Eojoko. He asked, do you prefer catching Dimpamin using QR codes, or do you go out and about waving your 3DS around in public? I happily do the latter.
I would say I've never used a QR code to catch a Dimpamin.
Me either.
There's actually a program out there that'll let you generate your own Dimpamin with whatever, facial features you want and whatever, magic and stats you want. And it'll make a QR code out of that. But I've never done any of that crap. I like to catch them, you know, hardcore style.
All natural?
All natural. I'm ashamed to say this, but there has been more than one occasion when I've caught Dempamin while driving. Because if you're ever riding in a passenger seat or something, and you have your 3DS with you, that is the best time to catch Dempamin, because you will just constantly pass Wi-Fi signals, and your whole screen will just fill up with like so many Dempamin. Like seriously, it's crazy. And you'll just see like rare ones and all kinds of junk. And you're just like, yeah, give them all. But,
My favorite place I've caught a Dimpleman was on my grandma's toilet. I think it was like Christmas or Thanksgiving or something, I don't know. But we were at my grandma's house, and I was like, oh, gotta poop. And I was sitting there, and I was like, oh yeah, I have my 3DS. Guess I'll catch some Dimpleman.
My grandma doesn't have internet, actually.
I don't know where these Dimpleman really came from, because my grandma has internet, but she doesn't have Wi-Fi.
They came from the waves, Addison.
Yes, they came from the waves. All right, well, that's it. We did it.
Questions.
I get to eat dinner now at 11:30.
Oh, my gosh. I am going to play something. Probably more Link's Awakening. But I don't want to play it. I want to play Super Metroid.
I'm just going to eat, watch some One Piece, go to sleep.
Cool.
So,
dude, but how about that Attack on Titan?
No. You guys should watch Attack on Titan.
Yeah, if you like, I don't care if you like animus or not. You need to watch Attack on Titan.
Attack on Titan is the show that got me interested in anime again.
Wasn't One Piece?
Well, kinda, but I mean, One Piece was the only thing that I really cared about. Now I'm kind of actively searching out what will be the next anime I watch.
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, dude.
Maybe. I was kind of been seeing a lot of stuff about that fairy tale show. It's supposed to be good. I don't know. I also really want to watch, I always forget the name, it's like Club Penguin or something, the one that everyone reblogs.
Club Penguin's that stupid site that tends
to... Oh, yeah, you're right. It's like Polar Bear Club or something.
My niece uses that. does mean things to people on there.
Yeah, so you guys can follow the show on Twitter at Pocketoid. You can follow us on Tumblr, pocketoid.tumblr. I'm trying to keep up with reblogging news stuff on there related to handhelds and throwing stuff into the queue, so hopefully at least one thing is posted every day. Sometimes I get behind.
Sometimes I reblog stuff hoping you'll see it, but
I try to. Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course you can subscribe to us on iTunes when it feels like not being a piece of garbage. And
if you've been having trouble with iTunes, I figured it out.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it's just a problem with them. You basically just have to wait a day or two. It'll work itself out.
Great. Apples. Yeah, so do all those things. You can follow me on Twitter at Addison_L. And I'm going to be posting a new C-blog for the first time in forever tomorrow, which will have already, by the time you're hearing this, it'll already be up. If you want to go search me down on there and check it out, Crackety Jones on Destructoid. It's going to be about what Microsoft can do to win me back.
I'm going to be posting one pretty soon too, but I'm doing one for the. I've been working on one for the monthly musing.
Yeah, I'm going to do that as well because I really like this week or this month's.
Yep.
So, you want people to follow you?
Yeah, I'm Jackal27. You can follow me on
things. The internet.
You friend me on your Wii U, or give us your friend codes on 3DS.
Yeah.
And please, 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 leave us an iTunes review. Not just a little star rating. Just write some words. Write those words.
Copy and paste a cookie recipe in there.
Yeah, whatever.
We won't care.
Yeah. Even if it's a bad review, I just want it. I want your reviews.
Oh, not that. Maybe not do that. yeah. So, we will see you guys on the other side of E3.
Yep.
On the other side of Animal Crossing.
Dude, just think about it, Addison. This is like the last time. It's like, after this week, there's no going back. Like, it'll be post E3. Isn't that just weird? It's just weird to think about.
You know what's weird to think about?
Because then you go back and listen to the old Pocketoid, and you're just like, man, we had no clue what was coming at all.
I know.
Every single time.
Well, you know what else is weird to think about?
What?
Is we've been doing this for 2 years and have 35 episodes.
Shut up. It also went bi-weekly, like partway into the show.
Yeah.
But
it also
we also went, skipped like
it six also months. Went like one monthly for a long time.
Yeah.
And then like one every 3 months.
We skipped like 5 months at one point or 4 months.
But I mean, if this was like, if we were like legit real game journos, I mean, we'd have way more episodes.
Oh yeah, we'd do it.
But we're not.
We do it every week.
Yeah.
But we're not. And so,
look for our Kickstarter. Okay, love you, bye.